Hey, everybody, welcome to night five of WrestleMania. We're covering SmackDown 205 Live. And did you watch NWA Power?
I did.
Okay, so we'll cover that after 205 mm-hmm. Live. But I was filling Andrew with the latest Twitter controversy regarding Dave Meltzer.
Actually, yeah, can you explain it like fully? Because I'm still kind of...
Okay. So ratings have been falling for AEW. They've been going down.
Ratings for AEW Dynamite have been going down.
And Dave Meltzer claims or thinks that it's because they went a blood and guts route like ECW, meaning the explosion death match, the Britt Baker bleeding. And I guess, was there bleeding in the Arcade Sunshine? What the fuck was it called? Arcade Mayhem?
Arcade Sunshine match. No, there was no blood in that.
Was it like violent?
It's a hardcore match, but with arcade stuff.
Okay, so that was violent. So I guess you could also factor that in. So he's claiming the female viewers, which I didn't know there were any, but apparently female viewers aren't watching that anymore. They're watching like Lifetime. I don't know a woman who watched AEW and then sees the Britt Baker. Like, I'm going to go back to watching Food Network. But I guess there's women there out there that exist. People were turned off by the blood and guts from Britt Baker and all this other stuff. And they stopped watching. And Tony Khan apparently, and he claims Tony Khan asked them a meeting. And Tony Khan said, tell me what to change and I'll change it, which is insane to me. And I guess they had a meeting and he's like, I think Tony Khan wants to simulate ECW, but I just think this is a nonsense argument. Does this make any sense, this argument?
As soon as, because I know Meltzer's involved, this doesn't make any sense, but doesn't have to. He's involved.
So. Okay, this is what is turning off viewers. This is what turns me off as a viewer. And it's not the blood and guts. I don't care.
No. That's like saying
more violent matches.
Here's a couple of reasons why that doesn't even make sense at all.
Yeah.
Number one, what is the moment that got Becky Lynch super over?
When she had blood all over her face after Nia Jax.
Very good. Yes.
Changed everything.
And Becky Lynch is over with women as well as men. Yeah. Super over women as well as men. So if going based on Meltzer's theory, then that makes no sense of why Becky Lynch is as popular as she is.
Yeah.
Right? Because blood and guts, right?
Yeah.
No, okay, number two.
Also, the match of the year in 2018 was Becky Lynch and Charlotte in that hardcore match.
Yeah.
I think, was it Last Woman Standing or just like a regular hardcore match at Evolution? It was the best match of the year, I thought, of 2018.
It was boyfriend gets pushed and winner's boyfriend gets pushed. here's point number two why that theory doesn't make any sense. AEW, since the beginning, has had a history. Even its short history has had a history of blood and guts. Mm-hmm. They announced the first blood and guts match. They actually call it blood and guts for Newark. Yeah, when they were announcing it all back before before the pandemic, it was huge. When Britt Baker fought Sheeta and she got a bloody fucking nose, the ratings didn't start tanking from there, right?
No.
The first unsanctioned match they had was Jon Moxley versus Kenny Omega, where they were doing these things with barbed wires.
And also, I've never even seen a clip of that match. That was only on pay-per-view. It's not like they showed that match on TV.
But what I'm trying to say is that they've had already been having a history of doing like ultra violent stuff, but ratings haven't been tanking. It's only recently tanked, right?
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you what I think it is. Do you want me to tell you what I think it is?
Let me finish my point.
Okay.
If blood and guts is really the reason why ratings are tanking, then ratings should have been tanking since like the moment they started doing these blood and guts stuff. It's only recently that they started tanking.
Yeah.
So it can't be the blood and guts. All right. Because recently they've only had one match that was like that. Well, two, if you count the exploding barbed wire match or whatever that was. Yeah. So what's your theory on why you think the ratings are tanking?
I think it's because there's no consistency to the characters. I think a major problem, and none of these fans think it because they live and breathe wrestling, is you just have some fat guy challenging for the Dynamite title. They don't tell you who it is. They don't give you any background. He's just some fat guy, and everyone on the internet knows who he is. But if you're just like a person, like if you're just like a guy like Jeff Ball, who's like, or my friend Chris, who's like, oh, I like Cody Rhodes, I'm going to watch this show because it's on TNT. You can't expect my friend Chris or Jeff Cole to watch Being the Elite, Escalation, what the fuck it's called, and Dark.
Escalation.
Yeah. It's just not going to elevate. It's just not going to happen. They don't have the time. They're like, people, regular viewers can devote 2 hours a week.
The ratings are tanking because the show overall stinks.
And
it's not a simple answer as it's the blood and guts. When we say it stinks, the show stinks because there's more than one element of the show that's bad.
Yeah.
The people they're bringing in are bad. The storylines they're doing are bad. The consistency is bad. A lot of things are bad. The people they're pushing are wrong.
There's so many things wrong with them. Here's the other problem. So Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker had that insane match. Best match in AEW history. They haven't done anything since then. We're going out of luck.
That's a very good point. This is a good example. Okay, Britt Baker, they did that angle. They shot that angle of what they're going to do.
She's on the show for like half a second.
Yes, you're right. She should be on more. But where's Thunder Rosa? Right? She won. Yeah. She won the damn thing. Where is she?
No. But here's the other deal with Thunder Rosa. Let's say you only have access to her a little bit, then don't put her in this position at the best match on the show if you can't make her your top star. Like Vince McMahon, when he had access to Smoky Mountain Wrestlers, he didn't fucking put the Rock and Roll Express 1993 in the biggest match of the night because then Jim Cornette could just pull them away to be back on Smoky Mountain. Why would he get those guys over to be the hottest guys in the company like they did with Thunder Rosa? You don't have access to her. Why do you even have that match?
Tony O'Khan is proving one thing for sure. He 100% is a mark.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have been in this business to begin with. You know, he really shouldn't have.
You're really brutal about them.
Hey, dude, I like AEW. I really do. I put money on them when they started, right? And you did too. You were supporting them. You were actually getting the pay-per-views and stuff. But we legit gave them a shot. And I still like them. I still think they do some great stuff. But I also am not going to have blinders on.
Yeah.
When you're not having a good wrestling show, you're just not having a good wrestling show. That's the end of the day. If they really want to know what's wrong with the show, like what's wrong with ratings, they need to break down every single segment they do and they should point out what worked and what didn't work in each segment and then they'll start figuring things out. But
you shouldn't have to know 70 wrestlers and their backstory to enjoy the show. Because look at me. I'm a guy who loves wrestling and I do a fucking podcast about it with you. And even I'll put on Dynamite and like fucking what's QT Marshall walk out. I'm like, who the fuck are these three guys? And if they didn't say this guy used to bang Bailey, I wouldn't know who he is or what he does. They literally had to get this guy used to bang Bailey as his character.
Yeah.
Why
isn't Jungle Boy bigger than he is? He is like right now like a heartthrob.
Yeah.
Him, Darby Allin. Young people really like these two people. They should be pushed more.
Here's the other crazy part, dude. Why is so much TV time wasted on people that don't have contracts with them?
Yeah, exactly. It's like you are signing way too many people that you should not be signing.
Yeah. Dude, I saw they signed Red Velvet after the Cody Rhodes match, I was like, what's this? I'm surprised WWE isn't trying to, what if WWE just hired Red Velvet the day before that match? Was like, tell them, we'll give you like $2 million a year. Not that bad.
Yeah, they should. Maybe they're not doing it because it's 100% true. He's not scared of AEW. He just doesn't want them around.
But maybe
against them. But he doesn't.
But I was shocked that they gave Red Velvet that huge match before they signed him.
Yeah.
So it's like,
or supposedly. I don't know.
Listen, this is not an AEW episode. We're on the road to WrestleMania. I just wanted to give you that quick. I was telling Andrew that story. It's just like this guy's having an argument with himself. What the fuck is he talking about? There's so many problems with AEW.
Here's problem number one. You're listening to Dave Meltzer. That's problem number one.
Yeah, when you say, tell me what to change and I'll change. You're like, no, don't listen to him. Listen.
And you know why I hate this even more? I hate them for fucking up even more. They are now proving Jim Cornette right, and that makes me even more annoyed.
Well, here's the other thing. They're proving to not listen to the hardcore fans. They're proving to the WWE brain trust when, you know, like, well, the fans say that we should push or we should sign Laredo Kid. I don't know. And they're like, oh, yeah? Well, look at fucking AEW. That's what that they listen to the fans. Look what a piece of shit show that is. I'm not listening to those people. I'm listening to the people.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you shouldn't listen to Dave Meltzer or the guy David Bixban or Sean Ross Sapp on how to run a company. You know who you listen to? You listen to guys like me who fucking buy the pay-per-view. You listen to people that want to get more into wrestling, but like my friend Chris, or you got to figure out, how do I get Jeff Paul? How do I get Jeff Paul? You know what the goal of any company to be, even WWE? How do I get Jeff Paul to walk into the comic strip when things are back to normal and be like, I can't believe how good WWE is. I can't stop watching it. I have a DVR. I can't wait to go home and watch it. And I never felt like that way before. You can do that.
You also have to, I don't know, look at the fucking money or something. Cause, and this guy's, man, this guy was, he's fizzling out so much faster than I thought he was.
Mm-hmm. I think it was, and once, here's another thing. Once you connect to TNA, it all goes
down. And here's another thing. Get your ass off TV.
Yeah.
Like, put you, like, I want Tony Khan to rewatch interviews he did at the very, very beginning before AEW even started, where he talks about, where he sounds like a normal human being. Take yourself off TV, sit down and actually fucking start writing again. Cause your fucking show is garbage, dude.
Yep.
It's garbage. It's pure garbage.
Speaking of garbage, we had to talk about SmackDown today.
I didn't think this was garbage. SmackDown? It wasn't garbage.
No, you know it wasn't. You know what it was? It was basically a pre-show.
It was. And you know what it was too? It was a show. It was a go-home show. And if you're basing it off go-home shows to WrestleMania, I thought SmackDown did a better job of that than Raw.
Well, yeah. Because the bigger matches are on SmackDown. Raw doesn't have that many big I want to see matches. SmackDown has
more. Wait a minute. Randy Orton versus Fiend, my friend.
Dude, how they did not make that a Firefly fun. Maybe they feel like we don't want to have paid people to watch a TV screen. I don't think people would have gave a shit. I think people would have preferred to watch, even if they, I think people in the crowd would have loved to watch that match, even if they're watching a TV monitor for 20 minutes. I don't know why you're making that a regular match. I really don't know.
The bigger matches, I'm all joking aside, the bigger matches are on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're probably right. That's probably why it was the build-up was better. But
I think the biggest match Raw has is the Bad Bunny match. I hate to say it.
That is the biggest match. All right. We're going to start off with Daniel Bryan in the ring cutting a promo. He's kind of runs down the history of basically like recapping kind of like what happened, why he's not. I thought it was a whatever promo. I didn't think
anything. Yeah, I thought this was the weakest of the three promos. Uh-huh. You know, I really, like 5 years ago, I wanted Daniel Bryan in the WrestleMania main event. I thought, I really wanted him to be back. And I'm getting it now, and it's like, I think it's too little too late. I really do. I think this would have meant more if there were people in the crowd getting behind him again, like we did 6 years ago. It feels very fake and manufactured. And you know what? I'm sorry. Like, everyone has a point. There's no reason for him to be in this match. They didn't make a compelling reason. If Edge had screwed him out of the Royal Rumble, if Edge had cheated to win the Royal Rumble, that would have been different. But he legit lost the Royal Rumble. He legit lost the Royal Reigns twice. He shouldn't be in this match.
Yeah, that's what, then after that, the Street Profits are in the back. They're cutting a promo. It's pointless. But then as they're cutting the promo, the Dirty Dogs will attack them. And they're going to start fighting out to the ring area. And then all the teams come out. You want me to just go straight to that match? Or do you have anything to say about their promo?
No, we can go right to
the match. Yeah. This is a four-way tag team match for the tag titles. We got the Alpha Academy versus Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio versus the Street Profits versus the Dirty Dogs. They keep mentioning how if Rey Mysterio and Dominic win, this will be the first father and son tag team champions in WWE. Mm-hmm. And I was very annoyed thinking about it now, but when it happened, but when I look back at it now, actually, that was very good that they did that, because that really, that swerved me, at least, mm-hmm. you know? So this is not a bad match. It's actually a pretty good match. These four tag teams, they're all good wrestlers. The finish comes when Montez Ford hits the From the Heavens frog splash on Chad Gable. But as soon as there's a blind tag make, he gets up, he gets super kicked out of there. Bobby Roode comes in, steals the victory. The Dirty Dogs retain. Like I said, the more I think about it, actually, that was smart, because but the commentators keep hammering home, there's going to be the first father and son tag team champions to win. Like, that's what I thought was going to happen. And he fucking swerved it on me. So I was like, yeah, it's all right.
I thought it was a really good match. I had, mm-hmm. I thought it was a great match. I wish these eight guys had been able to do this at Mania. I don't know, unless they have something really major planned and they had to cut the match. You know, poor Otis and Dolph Ziggler had a pretty good match last year in an empty building, and now they're back in an empty building.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing: not everybody needs to be on WrestleMania. I'm okay.
No, I know. I just feel bad. I feel bad that like a lot of these guys worked hard. Street Profits worked hard all year. You know, I know. I feel like they deserve Mania more than some other guys.
That are on the yeah, game. A lot of these guys worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people who worked hard who are not going to be in Mania.
Yeah.
And the way I figure is this: maybe not this year, but maybe next year. You know,
maybe. At I mean, this they, point, they just they even though this is a great match, they still have just destroyed Otis. They've destroyed. I remember. You know,
I'm starting to be okay with him being a heel. I'm like, whatever. You know?
I just, well, you know what it is? It's like, but no, you know what the problem is? It's kind of like with Enzo and Cass. I feel like when they broke up Enzo and Cass, that ruined their lives. Like, it didn't just like, oh, that was a bad move on the show. No, you basically ruined these two guys' lives. Like, I feel like if they never broke them up, they would still be on Raw or SmackDown. And I feel the same way about how they, when they broke up Heavy Machinery. Like, you just literally just ruined these two guys' careers for no reason.
I remember like the first 3 weeks of Otis being here, I would just stare at the screen and just being like blinking, like, is this guy really a heel? Like, you know, like I couldn't believe it, but now I'm just like,
and Tucker, because Tucker was later on and they just kind of shit on him.
Him and Gable, they actually do have decent chemistry.
They do, yeah.
So it's starting to like, and I think those, this is how you know they're hard workers. Instead of just phoning it in,
mm-hmm.
and being like, this is bullshit, they split me up and everything, they're actually trying their best to make this work. So they're actually coming up with tag team maneuvers together, right, and stuff. So to me, it's working a little better. You know, I'm starting to get into it. It's fine.
But this match was very good. It was a very good match.
This is a good opening match. Yeah, it's a good opening match. Bianca Belair is getting an interview and she's talks typical, you know, good guy promo. I'm going to move on to the next thing if you want.
Yeah.
Big E is at a, what's going on? You going to beat those dogs?
I just want to wake Matilda up. Okay. She was in a weird position. She was in like a weird, she was like sleeping weird. So she had her tongue out sleeping weird. I'm like, is she dead?
Oh.
He sleeps weird sometimes. It's all right.
Yeah. So Big E is at a barber shop and he starts cutting a promo as a video of like how WrestleMania's in my hometown in Tampa Bay. This is the field that I own a piece of this field and blah 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 Tampa Bay. And Wally is gonna be singing my entrance. And I'm like, I can't wait for Apollo Crews to beat the shit out of this.
You didn't like the promo?
It was better than most Big E promos, but like even at the end, he started doing that weird voice he does, right? And I was just like, I'd rather see Apollo. Right now, who's more interesting?
Apollo.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to win. I'm like, Apollo Crews has finally got something, even though it's a little stereotypical. It's at least, it's something that is the most interested I've been in Apollo Crews.
The problem with New Day guys is they're gonna cruise on this New Day persona till the day they die. They're never gonna change.
Yeah, I want to see Apollo Crews beat him and then just, I don't know, like do more stuff with him. You know what they should really do? Hire Mbadu. He's not under contract with AEW, and make him, because one thing Apollo Crews doesn't have is height. He's short.
Yeah, give him a bodyguard.
Yeah, and
you know, good with him almost.
Yeah, almost. But we know one guy who the reason why I picked Mbadu is Mbadu is tall, Mm-hmm. And he is Nigerian. He's like, his gimmick is I'm Nigerian, you know? So just put him there. That's what I would do. But I really, yeah, this was probably Biggie's better promo, but it's still like wipe your ass promo, you know? Yeah. We get a very long video package of Randy Orton versus The Fiend.
Yeah, that was on Monday, so we don't.
Yeah, and then we're going to go to match number two. It is Nia Jax versus Tamina. Tamina's coming out with actual ring gear. Now, I think she's changed to a ring. Before, she used to wear, like, remember with, like, the Viscera outfit? Like, you know, like, Viscera?
She would wear Viscera's outfit.
Yeah, Viscera's outfit. The whole, everything's, like, leather. But now she's coming out in actual wrestling gear. And her hair is different, too, and everything. I like the way it looks. It's got a good look. She came out with a lot of intensity in this match. But, unfortunately, it's typical WWE. You got to have at least one DQ in every fucking show. There's a DQ, and there's no finish, and both Nia Jax, the Somalian, and the fucking Shayna Baszler face off against Tamina and Natalya, kind of hinting at Tamina and Natalya will probably be the ones who are going to win that turmoil. But I like Tamina. She looked decent. She looked, you know, like, actually surprisingly good.
It's crazy. She's had WrestleMania matches the last three WrestleManias. It's crazy how she snuck in there. She was in the Fatal 4-Way 2 years ago. She was, remember, it was her in the Bayley match, the Bayley elimination match last year. And now she's going to be in this. It's funny how, like, most of the year she's not used, but they always give her a match at Mania. They find her. And, she looks good. She's finally, like, back in real gear as opposed to wearing Viscera's leftovers.
Yeah. It's, you know what, like, sometimes just new gear, just it's like a fresh coat of paint on somebody. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Right after this match, the interviewers got Ruby Riott, the Riott Squad, Billy Kay, Carmella comes out, and Billy Kay and Carmella are now officially the fifth team in the turmoil. I believe you called that, didn't you? Or something like that. I remember I said, like, Billy Kay's going to be in there, and you said Carmella's probably going to be the tag team partner. I'm pretty sure you said
that. I think I might have said that on Monday, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those two are now in the tag. They're taxing the turmoil. Then Lana and Naomi came out. Then Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke come out. They all start fighting. And then Tamina and Natalya go during the fight, and they beat the crap out of everybody. So they could be swerving us again. Like, this, the team's gonna win, but most likely it might not be. Who knows? But I would love it if they threw in a mystery 16.
Well, I think that's. I have to remember that's my Becky Charlotte theory. So.
Becky and Charlotte theory. If there was a 16 and it's not Becky and Charlotte, who else would you pick? I would pick somebody from, like, NXT. Just, like, bring them up randomly.
Oh, yeah. Well, they didn't lose. Maybe The Way.
Yeah, maybe those two. Then at the start of the second hour, Edge brings a chair into the ring, puts the chair down in the ring, sits there and starts to do a fucking extreme close-up of his face, like his psycho, and he starts talking, and he starts off the promo about how when you have dreams, he manifests his dreams, and he starts talking. It starts very slow in the beginning, but as he's talking, it starts building, and he talks about how Daniel Bryan robbed him of this one-on-one. WrestleMania is supposed to be iconic one-on-one. He just weaseled his way in here like an indie librarian or something like that. I believe he said
that. That was a funny line.
Yeah, it was very funny. And then he turns his attention to Roman Reigns, and he goes, you know, you should actually thank me, because I see what you do. You come in here, you know, when you first started, you come out, you're in a stable of three guys, and you come in through the crowds. I did that first. He goes, you're the Samoan Edge. Yeah. I thought that, to me, that was funny, because you're the Samoan Edge. And he goes, like, that's going about, like, dude, I came back from injury, like a career-ending injury. This is supposed to be my moment. Nobody else has come back like me. And he goes, what do you think? I'm just going to take it easy? I'm going to be doing Hurricanranas off the top. And he goes, there's nobody else like me. And he goes, because I manifest my dreams. He fucking circled back to the beginning of his promo. This was, in my opinion, a very, very good promo.
Promo a lot. I really like what Edge did. Mm-hmm. You know what I felt like Edge played into? He played in, you know what people said about Hogan and Jericho? Well, what we say about Jericho, like, they're these old guys just taking up spots, right? he kind of is like, yeah, I'm an old guy, and yeah, I'm going to take the spot, and I don't give a shit. Like, it's my fucking spot.
And, yeah, yeah, he was like, the spotlight's my spotlight. Nobody else like me right now, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, I kind of think that should be his character, where, like, you know how Jericho's, like, beating all the young guys on AEW, or Hogan was, like, always the center of attention, even when he was, like, and it should literally, like, just play that up and be like, I'm going to hold all the young guys down. I don't care. Like, play up that he's this.
Yeah, because better. Hogan and Jericho,
while Hogan and Jericho playing, never owned it. He should own it.
Yeah, yeah. While they're putting themselves over, the whole time they're saying, I'm helping them out. I'm giving them a rub, and I'm working with them. I'm going to put these guys over, but they're really not. Where Edge is probably the opposite. Like, his character is, I'm the guy who's going to try to put the
whole reality. Yeah, but I think he should play up the veterans, just not going to let anyone get through.
Yeah. This promo really was, like, reminded me of, like, how good Edge can be.
He
should always just be a bad guy. Yeah. He just works great. Good promo by Edge. Great. This was the first time I was, like, interested in this three-way. I'm not even making this up, guys. This is the first time I've been interested in this three-way. It's from this promo.
Andrew Lee hated this match. He hates women. Now he
likes it. Yeah. I, you know why? Because all three of them remind me of women so much. Adam Pearce is in the back with Sonya Deville, and they're just talking. And Sonya Deville's like, "Yeah, man, I don't agree with the why did the Dirty Dogs have to defend it against three different teams tonight in a four-way match? That's not fair." And he's like, "Well, sometimes that happens." I'm like, "Sometimes there's a triple threat match." And he goes, "Yeah, I don't agree with that either." He's like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, why the hell is Daniel Bryan in this three-way? It doesn't make any sense." And then she walks away. This was really interesting. I don't know why they put this in the show.
I think it's setting up Sonya Deville to have more of a authoritative presence on SmackDown. Like, I would not be surprised if, like, on Monday, they're like, Adam Cole's in charge of Raw, Sonya Deville's in charge of SmackDown.
Okay. I'm okay with that, yeah.
Like, she's clearly, like, she's not cool with what Adam Cole's been doing. Or Adam Pearce.
Yeah.
Either one. Yeah. All the Adams. She doesn't like any of them.
Yeah. All right, so Sasha Banks is giving a promo. She's like doing the fake laugh, really, really leaning into this like stereotypical like bad guy promo. Mm-hmm. I think now that she's purposely talking like this.
I think she's purposely doing a bad promo. I think
I think she's purposely trying
to sound. There is no way she does that laugh and it's like, I fucking
yeah. She did the fake laugh a couple times, and the way even she's talking, she was super exaggerating today.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's purposely, I think she knows, like, she has to be the bad guy in this, and she's like, I can't give good promos. Like, I need people to like be annoyed with me. And I'm starting to think. Does he think that means that?
I think she's losing and she's not happy. But do you remember? She doesn't do this anymore, but she used to do this. I used to be able to tell when she was going to lose. Do you know why? This was like before. This is before WrestleMania 35. Like her, but remember she left for a while.
Yeah,
like she stopped doing that at when she came back for the feud with Becky Lynch. But I used to know when she was going to lose, and I'll tell you why. Because when she came out and she would do this. If she was losing, she would just she would barely put any effort into doing like her thing on the apron and standing on the ramp. She would just kind of like boringly. And then when she was going to win, she like really did. Like, she told you in her entrance what the finish was going to be all the time. And she stopped it. But I think now I don't think she likes losing, even though this is fake. I don't think she likes losing.
Yeah, she's someone who doesn't understand that this is.
Because
I think she understands what wrestling is.
She's not doing a good job. So they're closing night one. And I think Sasha Banks deserves it based on athleticism. But based on this storyline and based on like what the performances these two women have been giving the last 2 weeks, the last 8 weeks, I'm sorry, they absolutely do not deserve to go last. They only deserve to go last because of Sasha, what Sasha Banks has done all these years. And the fact that Bianca won the Royal Rumble. That's it. But based on the storyline, this match should go like third.
Well, the reason, okay, so I think she's purposely doing these from bad promo, not because
she just wants her heel.
Yeah, I think, yeah, because I think she's like trying to make sure, like, hey, I can't be cheered when I come out. Like I think they maybe
people are just gonna be so happy to see her that cheer her. So.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I think she's trying her best to do these shitty promos. That's just what I think. Now, if what I'm saying is based on my theory, do you think the past month or so of her giving really shitty promos was done purposely like that?
Yes, I think she's not happy. She's going to lose her rest of weight.
Okay. So then all these bad promos she's been giving, she's been purposely giving bad promos. So then we might owe her an apology because I just thought she was a shitty talker. I just thought she was just...
But she sometimes is and sometimes she isn't. And it's just... Yeah. She always delivers in the ring, but she was cutting shitty promos in her Carmella feud too, though. I don't know when she lost the ability to speak, but she did. And I don't know how that happened. She is... I understand how this woman is getting Hollywood roles. Because if I was like casting Star Wars and I was like, oh yeah, this woman, and I'm someone at Lucasfilm and I saw that promo time, like, you want her in Star Wars? Like,
do you see her action figure?
What about Ruby Riott? Yeah, she has an action figure.
She's
yeah.
got a Star Wars action figure. Good for her. That's awesome.
I mean, Ruby Riott was a better actress tonight than fucking Sasha Banks.
Was Ruby Riott also into Star Wars?
No, but I'm just saying she's a better actress and she's not getting it. Like, you know, her acting was abominable. Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott cut a better promo.
Yeah, but was she doing that on purpose now?
I think she is because I think she's losing and she's not happy.
No, the whole time.
Yeah, I think she knew she was losing this whole time, yeah.
Oh, okay. So I think that's where we differ. You think she's doing it badly on purpose because she's losing, where I think they were like, dude, we need you to be a heel. So she's like, well, they're going to cheer me because they love me.
Well, if they wanted to be a heel, they should just have her beat the shit out of Bianca Belair like weeks ago and be like,
oh, no, but I think that I don't think that's a giveaway of people not booing her. I think some people will still cheer her.
If you literally had her beat up Bianca Belair and then go back with Bayley, that would make her, I don't know. Like,
yeah. Well, like, you know how, like,
dude, I think this is a lot of investigation into someone who just doesn't know how to cut a promo. Investigate, like, you can't be this bad.
You know how, like, Drew McIntyre, they just paired him up with, like we're gonna pair not Drew McIntyre, we're gonna pair Bobby Lashley with Baron Corbin just because we know, like, that is gonna just be like people are gonna like
turn first turned heel in 2018. Yeah,
and that's why I'm thinking, like, Sasha, people love you. You are not gonna shitty wrestle because you own that. But so we just need you to shitty act. Like, that's gonna turn people away. I'm like, all right, I don't know.
Well, this buildup has turned me away. I mean, I'm sure the match will be great, but
yes, this buildup has turned me away. Yes, yeah. I keep calling him Sami Callihan. Sami Zayn. Yeah.
It'd be funny if he disappears in the ring and tournament. On the draw.
Can you? I bet you he does go around and say that every once in a while.
You know what? I think Sami's saying just are calling himself the draw.
You know what's really interesting about Sami Callihan? Mm-hmm. One of the last indie shows I went to in New Jersey, he was there. And he was like probably the most normal guy out of all the wrestlers. He was like, it was a really small, it wasn't a big turnout. It was a small turnout. And I believe it was a weird show. It was ICW in New York, that insane, not the one from England, but the one where the ICW No Holds Barred, where they do all the deathmatch stuff.
Oh, but ICW No Holds Barred threw out Teddy Hart tonight at their show.
What?
ICW No Holds Barred threw out Teddy Hart tonight.
Oh, they threw him
Teddy
out.
Teddy Hart was at Bloodsport and For the Culture. And they just let him in there, and like all these guys, like, we need to be better, like allowing Teddy Hart to hang around, even though he's a. But ICW, whatever you just said, they made a statement that we threw him out, and he's not allowed any future events.
Okay.
And there's some deathmatch wrestler cursing him out in the middle of the street.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he does a lot of bad things, but that's actually interesting because the last AICW show I went to, he was actually in one of the matches, and he had a really, really funny botch that they edited out for the fucking internet, but I saw it live. It was fucking hilarious. But it was a weird show in that there were so many people, like wrestlers, just out there hanging out, not on the show. Like Nigel McGuinness was there and he was like signing like autographs and stuff. Teddy Long just randomly showed up. Like he came to just watch the show.
Yeah.
Juventud Guerrero came to just watch the show. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't on the show at all. He didn't have a booth set up either. He just was like there, like meeting his coworkers. And Sami Callihan was on the show, but he did this thing where he was just kind of like walking around before the show. And he was like a normal dude. He was like super normal.
He wasn't the draw.
It's just weird. Like how bad
he is on Impact.
I feel like if he was this like regular dude, like on the show, I think he would be more of a draw.
Like I said, we said this yesterday with MSK and DJZ. It's who's in charge. And maybe if Sami Callihan was back in NXT, he'd be like the top guy. I don't know, but he'd really be the draw, but he's not.
Do you ever see him going back to NXT?
I mean, I wouldn't sign him, but I don't know what Triple H has in his head. So
imagine him going, Vince, I got this guy. You're never gonna believe this, but he's the draw.
He's gonna draw fans. I could see him getting rehired and then winding up like one of these Andre the Giant battle royals in 2 years.
Dad, do you know what kind of balls it takes to call yourself that in this business?
So Sami Callihan, I fucking hate they got the Logan Paul involved. I fucking hate this kid.
Oh, Sami Zayn. He's doing his documentary thing, right? And he goes to this gym and he goes, come here, guys, follow me. We got the Logans. So the Logan Paul brothers. Mm-hmm. They're both boxing. And he's just like, hey, guys, I'm like, can we all like spar together? And then he like leaves the building and he can't get back in. The bouncer won't let back in. And then that's where the video ends. And then Sami's going to the commentary team like, why'd you show that video? There was way more. They let me back in and then we have brunch together and blah, blah, blah. Kevin Owens comes out and starts beating up Sami Zayn. They start fighting and then they leave the ring and then we're going to go to match number three. Before I go into match number three, anything you want to say about the Logan Paul brothers?
I hate, they're just the two scumbags, two fucking idiots. I hate the fact that Sami Callihan and Kevin Owens have this tainted in their match. This is the equivalent to me for you, like if that guy who yelled you the open mic was in the middle of like fucking, who were two of your favorite wrestlers? Like they just put him in the middle of like a Daniel Bryan Walter match. They have Ian Finance there as the referee. It'd be like,
but do you think both of them are gonna be at WrestleMania?
Yeah, they already put out a T-shirt with Logan Paul to sell at WWE Shop. He's gonna be at ringside. He's gonna be. I don't
both
know
of them?
He's no, just Logan Paul. But Logan Paul is the big scumbag. Jake is not a big of a scumbag as Logan. At least I don't think so. But
you know what they should have done? A Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens with a Logan Paul in each corner.
With a Logan
Paul? Yeah, like both of them have a Logan Paul.
I just feel like these guys don't need that for their match. You're tainting the match. I don't know. Wrestling like is so weird because like everyone will post these things. Like they'll all go after Hogan. Everyone likes to do this performative thing where they're like, oh, I don't like Hogan. But then like a guy who like fucking filmed the guy dying, they're like, oh, he's at WrestleMania, whatever. And it's just like, oh, you don't really care about anybody.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't really care. That's why, dude, yesterday some fucking loser on Instagram, like, it's the anniversary of Ultimate Warrior's dad. It's like, fuck you, Ultimate Warrior. Burn in hell. Nobody even misses you. And it's like, shut the fuck up. Like, shut the fuck up, you fucking loser. Nobody's going to miss you, bro. I miss the Ultimate Warrior. Go fuck yourself.
I don't actually miss the Ultimate Warrior. I was never really that big of
a... It's like performative, like, because Warrior was there. But meanwhile, like, fucking Chris Jericho's wife is the Capitol. Let me tell you something. If Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan did flips in the Tokyo Dome, all these fucking nerds would still like them no matter how many N-bombs they dropped, all right? People still...
Speaking of Jericho.
What?
Speaking of Jericho. Mm-hmm. Taking pictures in front of a plane. He's really trying to I think he's a little annoyed by something, or I think he's really starting to like make plans to like jump ship.
Why?
I think he knows it's a sinking ship.
I don't see how he can't know it.
Yeah, I think he realized, ooh, this, you know how like they would, those things would do, like the wrestlers were like, they would all jump on WCW and then just suck it dry. And then once they realize like, oh, this is like, I think we're done here. They all start making escape plans, right?
Yeah.
I think Jericho's smart. Say what you will about him. He's very aware of his surroundings. And I think he's the first one who can read the signs. And he's like, I got to start making nice with the other guys because I got to get the fuck out of here before it's too late, you know? Because he wants to leave. If you leave before it really tanks, your stock is still hot.
Yeah.
You know? If you're stupid enough to stick around while it's going down, like, ugh. It's
I really thought that making Kenny Omega the world champion was going to be... I don't know why I keep going back to AEW. It's still a lot of SmackDown. But I really thought making Kenny Omega the world champion was going to help them. And I think it's fucking doomed them.
Yeah.
You know, because I had this idea that, you know, they're going to fucking have... He's going to have classics on pay-per-view like he did in New Japan. And then they fucking had this goofy match with Jon Moxley. It's just like...
You can't do it without the Japanese. I guess that's the moral of the story. All right. So now we're going to go to match number three. This is the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. You win this big, ugly trophy. This would normally be on a pre-show, but this is the pre-show. There will be no pre-show tomorrow. It is just WrestleMania.
No, there is a pre-show, but I don't think there's going to be any matches.
Oh, there is a pre-show, but no matches. Okay. Yeah, because
the first wrestler to come out a big deal. I'm going to put it on at 7 o'clock because Peacock's weird. And then, you know, I got to tell you about Peacock after this.
Wait, 7 o'clock is the pre-show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I think you're right. There's probably going to be a pre-show that's no wrestling matches because they want the first wrestling match in front of a crowd to actually...
They want the first entrance to be something huge. Yeah.
Yes. So I'm just going to go in order of elimination. Tozawa is eliminated first. Then Tucker, who's wearing silver indie pants now. he is. He's wearing silver indie pants. You know those indie long pants? Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander, they're more cohesive as a team now since they've been kicked out of the Heart Business. And everybody in the ring turns their attention to Shelton Benjamin and Cedric, and they eliminate both of them. Then Eric from the Viking Raiders eliminated. Then Drew Gulak is wearing long orange pants now. He gets eliminated. Then Humberto Carrillo, then Slapjack. Yes, every single member of Retribution was in this, and they're all still having the same gimmick. None of them has changed their gimmick. You would at least think they would take off their mask and go back their real names now. But
yeah, maybe they're going to make a big angle out of it, or probably not. They probably don't want them to go back to, because they want to repackage them soon.
Yeah, probably. So after Slapjack gets eliminated, Mason T-Bar face off against Elias and Riker, and the Retribution guys eliminate Elias and Riker. But then Mace gets eliminated by Mustafa Ali. T-Bar has Mace, and right when he's about to eliminate him, Murphy makes a save, and Ali is able to eliminate T-Bar. And then we have this fun little original 205 reunion where you have Mustafa Ali, Kalisto, Buddy Murphy, and who else was there? I think it was just those three. Oh, the Lucha House Party guys all kind of getting into it a little bit. But then, they did a Lucha House Party, all three members, Kalisto, Lince, and Grand Metal League, trying to do a Lucha thing. It was a nice little reunion thing. Then Kalisto gets eliminated by Lince. Then Lince gets eliminated by Grand Metal League. Metal League gets eliminated. Then Buddy Murphy gets eliminated. Then Garza, then Ali. So we're down to Ali, Ricochet, Corbin, Nakamura, and Jey Uso, those five. Ali goes out, then Ricochet, then Corbin, and then lastly, Jey Uso eliminates Nakamura for Jey Uso to win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I think it's a little nice thank you for all the hard work he did.
In getting buried.
I like this Battle Royal.
You liked it?
Yeah, I liked it.
I didn't like
Why? It. What didn't you like about it?
I think they should have used this to elevate someone who hasn't done shit. I get it. It was nice and visual to be like, for Roman to be like, Jey Uso, listen to me. Look how good he did. He got this
one. Yes. Super again, it's going to play into the letter, yeah.
But I would have just – I don't give a shit about that. I think Jey Uso's dead in the water anyway. I really do. I don't think – I think his career's over. You ruined him. And once he stops being a henchman, the fucking Roman Reigns, he's going to be on, like, fucking Superstars or Main Event or 2 o'clock. He's just going to – he's going to go nowhere. Because you killed him. You killed him. So I would have had – you're going to fucking laugh. I would have had T-Bar with the fucking thing and unmask. T-Bar with this? Yeah, I just would have elevated someone new. And I'm Donovan Djokovic.
He's like, the T stands for transsexuals.
I would have elevated – or Mustafa Ali. I just would have used it to elevate someone. Jey Uso's damaged goods. The minute they did the angle where fucking Roman Reigns was hitting Kevin Owens with a chair and then hit Jey Uso with a chair and Jey Uso just stayed with him. It's like, short of Jey Uso, like, fucking pinning this is how you get Jey Uso over. He has to pin Roman Reigns, Walter, Karrion Kross, and Drew McIntyre all at the same time to unify all four belts. Maybe you have Kenny Omega and Rich Swann in the ring too. It's the only way we can get him back over. I think it's fucking done with that guy. So it's like,
I think there's an easier way to get him over.
I don't think so. I think you made him look like such a fucking idiot.
Yeah. I liked it. Jey Uso won. As soon as he wins, Roman Reigns comes out with Paul Heyman. He starts cutting a promo. They do that thing where he does mention, like, look what I did. Look at him. He's a fucking Andre the
Battle. That does nothing for anyone's career. Yeah. Remember,
I kind of like how they used it to kind of.
Okay, it's good, but I still think there's so many guys in the roster that aren't over. They got to get one of them over.
There are so many guys on this roster
that are not over. Just not over.
If you put them anywhere else, they would be really. They could be really big.
Can you imagine Mustafa? Can you imagine if Mustafa Ali, Shelton Benjamin, Drew Gulak, and I'm just picking like four random. I'll pick five random guys. Elias and fucking, I'm thinking of a fifth guy that was in that match. Not Tucker, because that wouldn't do anything. Nakamura. Nakamura just on his own. I'm talking about like lower guys. And fucking a T-Bar all showed up in Impact next week. It would change the fucking show. It would be exactly, a 20 times better show.
This must have been what it was like in the 80s when you had guys like Junker Dog and like Harley Race and fucking like Duggan and
no, because Junkyard Dog was always over in WWE. He always treated like a top guy. They didn't treat Junkyard Dog like this.
Oh, you mean like really, really fucking low, right?
What do you mean?
Because Junkyard Dog was never the top guy.
He was he was always near the top. I think if Hogan ever got injured, they would have gave him the belt. Like if Hogan, like let's say Hogan just fucking died in 85. They probably would have went with Junkyard Dog.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. If Hogan, like, let's say he just fucking shot himself in the head, I think Junkyard Dog would have just went right to him. Yeah, definitely. There's nobody even close. Junkyard Dog was pretty on the top there. So it is a bad example. The thing about WWE in the 80s, though, everybody was like just one good segment away from becoming from being known as the guy. If Hogan did vanish, you could do that to Jake the Snake. You could do that to Ricky Steamboat. You could do that to Macho Man. You could do that to Ted DiBiase. You could do it to fucking Tito Santana. There's nothing like that. Like, if Drew McIntyre vanishes tomorrow, none of those guys, there's just so many losers.
Ted DiBiase.
Ted DiBiase Jr.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. But, Roman's promo was good.
I mean, like, you could always I really feel like you can rehabilitate even jobbers in wrestling with one segment. And you know who kind of turned my mind around to that?
Who?
Jinder.
That's true. Yeah. But look where he is now.
Yeah, I know.
That's the thing. It's like they do every now and then they decide to give like a guy who was a jobber a huge push, but it's never sustained. Jinder was running around for the 24/7 title in 2019.
I know. He I know you're not gonna like this, but he devalued that title.
Yeah, I know.
WWE title, 100% devalued it.
I know, because it,
it's not a prestigious title to me.
It is to me, because it's the original. So
because it is the original title, but now, like, it's not like only top guys get this title. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, because only it seems like the universal title, they only do give it to top guys. So
yeah, and here's the thing though, that title is, if you, in the big picture, if you think about it, it's a very new title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not.
Yeah, that's why to me the WWE title is the title. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's you know, the WWE, it's tainted. It's tainted title. It's tainted.
Yeah.
Anyways, Roman Reigns comes out. He cuts a promo. This was better than Daniel Bryan's, but Edge just blew this one out of the water too.
It was very much like It was the same thing. It was the same shit he was saying.
Yeah, same shit basically. All in all, in my opinion, it's not the best show, but it's a good go home show, right? It's a good go home show.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I thought to myself? I thought, like, Fox paid them $1 billion for this fucking show, and they basically spent 2 hours promoting an NBC app on the Fox network. I think that's why they called this WrestleMania SmackDown. Fox were like, are we going to get any of this WrestleMania hype? Oh, we'll give you a WrestleMania SmackDown. And meanwhile, they just had a regular, they basically had a 2-hour info.
Yeah. It's like this. Do you know who, you ever heard of Andre the Giant? Right? Of course. Who has it? Exactly. And we are having our prestigious Andre the Giant.
We are going to have
on your channel.
On your channel. And we're having a fatal 4-way match with all the 4 best tag teams in and SmackDown. Wow, so we're basically getting WrestleMania night. Actually, WrestleMania starts on Friday on Fox. Yes, you're right. It does.
Yes.
This is WrestleMania SmackDown.
That's exactly how you should look at it.
I'm so glad we gave you guys. Dude, I remember there was an interview. There was a Dave Meltzer, someone. A lot of people promoted, like, SmackDown's going to be very different when it goes to Fox. It's going to be a sports presentation. And it's gonna.
I remember that. I believed it the same way I believed AEW was gonna be a sports.
Goofy shit.
And it was just
that they've been doing since they are such fucking.
Anything it was goofier,
dude. They are such fucking con artists. I guarantee you. If I became an executive, and I sat, I would love to be an executive at Fox when I have these meetings with Vince, mm-hmm. be like, yeah. So I'm a huge wrestling fan. What is the difference between the presentation of this SmackDown from last night and a SmackDown from 2004? Because to me, this is so beyond goofy.
If you are an executive and you are a wrestling fan,
mm-hmm.
you would know better than to put this show
on. Yeah, they give $1 billion.
Yeah, the reason why I got to be on this channel was because none of the executives are actually wrestling fans. They just look at the numbers.
Did you notice when the show started, the opening credits had Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin and The Rock?
Yeah.
And all the promos were like, I think people at Fox thought those guys were still wrestling.
Yeah.
I think they were like, oh no, because when SmackDown started, they had crowds. Hogan was on it a lot. Remember the NWO came out?
Mm-hmm.
Goldberg, I think that's why they gave Goldberg the title, because Fox wanted it. That's why I try to tell people, I think Fox wanted Goldberg to win the title. And they're like, well, you know, and Cena showed up on SmackDown. And then as it got to like the pandemic, I knew they were going to move away from it anyway. They were just like, here's Otis dancing in a pool. You know?
Yeah. I think this is why I don't like giving wrestling money at all. I just don't like it. And the reason why is because I feel like they're getting something over on me. Because they're all fucking carnies. Every single one of them. I just don't like giving them money.
This girl was complaining. Everyone like tweets about me too and stuff, but you guys let Teddy Hart all over the shows. And I wrote to her and she liked it on Twitter. I said, that's because being woke is the new work. You know what I mean? They can't fool us about the matches anymore, so they fool us that they're good people, and you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I don't think wrestlers are good people. I stand by my comment. The reason why everyone in the wrestling business, when they go like, Molly Holly was a saint. There's no saint.
He's a normal human being.
Because they're talking about everyone being shitty in the company, in wrestling, including themselves.
Yeah.
Okay?
If you look at who was villainized This is a for example. If you look who was villainized in the 90s, and who wasn't, fucking Goldberg and Kevin Nash are villainized. It's like these two fucking dicks, and they're both liberals, and they're both like guys with liberal leaning
politics. Wait, Goldberg and who?
Kevin Nash. Every story you hear about Kevin Nash in the 90s, he was a dick, he was selfish, he was this. And it's like, I feel like they villainize people that are kind of like, just like that are more normal. If you're more normal, you're a fucking weirdo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Wrestling is like one of the only, well, I shouldn't say one of the only, but this is how you know wrestling is a shitty industry. It's got a lot of like, murderers and rapists.
Well, how about, dude, Grizzly
Smith. That get away with it.
Dude, Grizzly Smith had a job in WCW until like the late 90s. And like,
yeah,
they fired Jake, but kept him around. Like, dude, like fucking this guy raped Jake's mom. And he still has a job and Jake doesn't. Like, wait, he raped my mom? You're going to keep him on the payroll? Yeah, he's great. And finishes.
Yeah. People are going to be like, yeah, that's the 90s, a different time. Oh yeah,
it still happened.
You got Jordan Devlin in Takeover last night or tonight. Yeah, you have
Justin Roberts still
around. Velveteen Dream still on the fucking payroll. Velveteen Dream is still on the fucking payroll. You have
Matt Riddle.
I mean, there's so many. Like, there's so many. It's pointless. It's like, don't tell me they're not scumbag guys. All right. Anyways,
dude, there's AEW uses Chase and Rance's girls. So,
yeah. Hey, oh, which one you want to do next? 205 or?
Let's go right to 205. Yeah.
All right. 205 was, I didn't like the show. And the reason, I'll tell you why. It's just a recap show. I don't like these anymore.
Why?
Nigel McGuinness is hosting. He says it's going to be just in honor of the classic we had, instant classic we had last night, which.
You can tell they filmed this ahead of time because he didn't announce the winner.
What did you say?
Yeah, you could tell.
Wait, did you get a new shirt or something you want to show off? What is that?
No, I was just unfolding it. Well, I did get a Mr. Perfect shirt in the mail.
Actually, that's a pretty nice shirt. That looks like an old school shirt.
Yeah, they're making like, I got a bunch of these like this. And I got NWO.
Is that a reprint?
No, they just make it look like an old shirt, but it's new.
Yeah, it's okay, I see. Yeah. Because they took the F out. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love it if it had the F.
That's still nice. Still nice, yeah. And that's an NWO Wolfpack shirt.
Yeah, I got a Wolfpack. This is a replica of what Kevin
Nash. Wolfpack on it.
It says NWO right over there.
Oh, and then the back is. Oh, I wish that. Okay, all right.
This Kevin Nash would wear this in '98. So
Kevin Nash could go fuck his ass.
Kevin Nash is against Adrian Hayne. Tweeted about that.
Remember Jericho tweeted that about the Grammys because something about Van Halen.
Yeah.
And then he wrote, fuck your ass. Grammys can go fuck your ass.
You hear him go like, I don't even want a Grammy. It's like, who the fuck would give you
a
Grammy,
bro? Yeah, and he wrote like,
fucking atrocious.
Ever since then, I've just been saying that. Fuck your ass. I think that sounds so funny. Go fuck your ass.
Go fuck your ass, Grammy.
It doesn't make any sense. Go.
I don't want a Grammy.
Yeah.
I think it was funny when he said, I don't want a Grammy. It's like, who the fuck is offering you a Grammy, bro?
All right, so Nigel McGuinness is... going to do some the modern classics for the Cruiserweight from 205. First one we have up is Ali versus Cedric Alexander, pre-show for WrestleMania 34. And
they were so happy back then.
In 2018. This is when like that Cruiserweight title still like was like kind of like prominent, you know? And Cedric Alexander hits the lumbar check for the win. I liked it. This was a good match when it, you know.
Yeah, no, I liked rewatching. You know, I didn't really watch 205 live back then. So when the match was on, me and my friends didn't really pay attention to it. But watching it now, because now I'm very familiar with Cedric and Mustafa Ali, that was a very good match.
I remember when this match, Ali versus Cedric, it was at the time it for 205. It was very important. I'll tell you why. This was like right after so. When 205 first started, it was like the ones who were always at the top of the division was TJP, Brian Kendrick, and Pac, and Enzo. Remember those guys? Remember Enzo and all that? And every once in a while, you had someone like a Rich Swann or a like Jack Gallagher kind of get positioned, like, you know, like they'll get a shot, right?
Yeah.
But Mustafa Ali and Cedric were kind of like the jobbers of that division, but they were also the workhorses. And then Enzo was gone, Pac was gone, and TJP started getting like, you know, brought down. And these two guys who were the workhorses, where they were just like, these are the best guys in the division right now. We're going to start pushing them, pushing them, pushing them. And it got to the point where like the two best guys in the division are now going for the belts, finally, after being jobbers like the whole time. And that's why it was like an important match for that division at the time in 205. And it was a good match, very good match. And then we're going to go to match number two, which is also a pre-show at 2019's WrestleMania.
35. Tony Mace
versus Buddy Murphy.
I saw myself on camera.
Did you really?
Yeah, during this match. Yep.
Okay. You were there, and I remember something you told me about this back then when you saw it. Do you remember what you told me about it?
What did I tell you?
You said it was something about them being something, doing something really stupid, which they should have done. Because it's a pre-show. It's in Jersey, which is right next to New York. They didn't even make a big deal out of it, but they should have. To get the
Tony Nese being from.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. You said Tony Nese is from Long Island, New York. It's right in his backyard. This is right in his backyard.
Mm-hmm.
They should have, you were like, they should have just been like, from Long Island, New York, like make a big deal out of it. And, you know, just kind of like, yeah, then people would have still been engaged. They didn't even fucking, you said they didn't even do something like that, right?
No, they don't. Yeah. I don't think they even gave these guys like their in-ring intro. Yeah, well, I think they gave Tony Nese and Zack Ryder, because Zack Ryder won the tag belts this night too, with Brian Myers. I think mm-hmm. they gave these guys the win because they were so close to their hometown, because after this, it was all downhill. Actually, it's so funny, but like one of the best matches that whole week was on 205 Live. The last match I saw on SmackDown, the SmackDown taping after WrestleMania, that was the last night, the last show, was the rematch. These guys had a rematch on 205 Live. That week that blows away the WrestleMania match, and I rewatched it recently, and it's still just as good.
Oh yeah, yeah. This was another good match as far as like rewarding somebody, because I talked about how Cedric and like Ali were like jobbers. Nese was a jobber too.
Mm-hmm.
He was a jobber. He was really losing. He was the bottom of the barrel. It was okay, these were the true jobbers of 205 Live. It was Cedric, Tony Nese, and Arya Daivari.
Mm-hmm.
Mustafa Ali was kind of like more in the middle, right? But still like not the top.
Yeah.
Anyway, Murphy comes in from NXT and just fucking shoots to the top right away. He bypassed everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And then he got the belt. And Tony Nese, by this time, Cedric is already out of the division. Mustafa Ali is already out of the division. There's not a lot of guys left at this point. And Tony Nese starts just climbing. Because at this point now, he's one of the workhorses. And he was finally getting a shot, and he got the win with the running knees. This was a good match. Tony Nese, he has really good matches. Unfortunately, and I hate to say this, after Tony Nese wins this title, that's when I think 205 starts really declining. Like, just takes like a nosedive, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just stops being interesting after he wins it. I hate to say it. That's
well, look where we are now. So, mm-hmm. yeah. I saw myself, my friend. My friend had a big head made of his son. It was me, my friend, and the kid. And he had a big head of the kid, and I could see a lot. And then I could see, because I could tell by the head, I could see myself. Sometimes I waved it. I will say this. I'm probably never going to sit that close again unless I'm in the front row. Because people keep standing up so much. It is kind of hard to see. The other thing too about being there live that many nights in a row, and I picked up on, I don't pick it up on it with the matches that I watched earlier that tonight. They really only play to one side of the ring. They only wrestle on one side of the ring. And you notice it live. You don't notice it on, but while rewatching this match, I was noticing a lot that Tony Nese and whatever the fuck his name is, Buddy Murphy, they were only wrestling on one side of the ring. Like they you wrestle. You basically wrestle to the hard camera. You don't wrestle to mm-hmm. the crowd.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that being true. Moral of the story is, guys, don't go to a WWE event.
No, I'm glad I went, dude. I've never saw that many. I probably never will again. I never saw that many people at once ever in my life. Look, oh. Dude, you looked up and it was just a sea of people. It was like a sea of people.
Yeah, I went to, was that your first WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Okay, I went to the WrestleMania.
With Rock Cena.
I think. Yeah, and I do remember just looking around and just being like, there's so many people
here. Yeah, I'm glad I went because I don't think that's, I still don't think that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, no, it almost felt weird.
Just it does. Looking
at the audience. It feels weird. Yeah,
you're just so I was going to the bathroom and you have to walk like almost through the field. And while I'm walking, I just look and there's just giants. And I just imagine like, if I had to do stand up for this many people, like it would just be insane. Like I was just like, this is like, it's almost like you'd have to tell a joke and then wait 2 minutes for the laughter because it would just be a wave of laughter coming at you. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was just wild. It was really wild. And I get why these guys are willing to like fucking kill themselves because it is a fucking high to have that many people cheer for you.
Can you imagine if you have that many people cheering for you? It would just be like,
I get why Kofi Kingston will probably like be in the WWE till the day he dies. Cause it's like, yeah. He'll always remember like I won the belt in front of all that many people. And I need something like that again. Like,
and he's like an old man. He's like, you know, they used to call me the Wildcat. People used to cheer me Wildcat. You know,
people call me the Wildcat.
They used to chant Wildcat, Wildcat.
Yeah. So I'm glad I went, but I would probably, you can probably be honest with you. If there's another, I'll probably go to WrestleMania again if it's in New York, but I'm going to go to the cheap seats. So I think you can enjoy the matches more higher up.
Okay. I did not feel comfortable paying $200 to go see a wrestling show. Okay. I felt like I could have been doing better things with that money.
Oh, dude, you know how much I paid? I paid for the fucking.
I remember you paid for like the four nighter or five.
A five nighter, NXT, Hall of Fame, Mania, Raw, SmackDown. I paid $2,000, I think.
Yeah, and I'm not saying everybody should do this, but I was like.
Dude, it would have been more expensive if I got a hotel. Yeah. So like take the money that people used to spend.
Oh no, I know. But I was just like, the way I was thinking was like, man, I paid $200 to see a wrestling show. But like,
yo, shut up.
I was like, I could have watched this at home and I could have used the rest of that money to like help people.
Who do you help? You're not gonna help anyone.
That's not true. I used to do care packages when I first started on comedy. I used to make my own care packages to hand them out to people all the time.
Then you started to hate women and stop doing that.
No, that's, and then I lost a lot of money because of these fucking tickets that I got.
Okay. Good for you. All I'll say is I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I did WrestleMania week. I just probably wouldn't. I'm glad I have my chair. I just probably wouldn't sit that close again at WrestleMania.
I will say this. If you're a wrestling fan, you kind of do need to go to WrestleMania at least once.
Yeah, I'm glad. I
hate like kind of being like, yeah, you got, but that's like, I feel like you do.
I enjoyed TakeOver more than Mania, and not because the matches were so much better. It was just because I had a more comfortable seat and I could see more and like, you appreciate it more when you just can just sit back and relax and see these guys live. When Walter and Pete Dunne are killing each other and you're comfortable and it's live, it's way more relaxing and enjoyable than like having to keep getting up and like moving your head around and, you know, because everybody, you know what I mean? And yeah. Being on top of each other and shit.
If I would just recommend people go to indie shows. They're actually more fun. That's some of the, you know what? That's some of the reason why it's more fun.
Dude, I looked at all the people at the fucking spring breakout today on the fucking, I'm like, I don't want to be around those people ever in my fucking life. Like,
yeah.
Dude, I'm beginning to think if you're a fan of John Moxley, there might be something wrong with you. Like, you might need to go like this. Dude, everyone acts like he's so fucking hardcore. He's the biggest fucking poser on the planet. I don't understand. Who would people think this guy is?
I like him, but I don't go gaga.
Dude, people go gaga over him, like, oh, it's gonna be so violent. It's like, did you not see, like, nothing he does is ever like, oh my god, it's just crazy. It's just always like the implications, you know, like, oh, this might
I don't, to me, he's not like Tommy Dreamer is more hardcore than Day.
Yes, I agree. Tommy Dreamer.
Is who else is more hardcore than Moxley?
I would say Nick Mondo.
I don't really. I never watched his shitty.
New Jack is what John Moxley says he's gonna do.
No, New Jack's not even a wrestler. He's a murderer.
I know, but it's fine. That's why yeah. I like.
Okay, I would say
Terry Funk and Mankind. I think are.
More. I would say. Even though I didn't really like him either, but Jimmy Havoc's more of a hardcore wrestler than Moxley.
And Jimmy Havoc sucks.
Yeah, and Jimmy Havoc stinks, yeah. Jimmy Havoc stinks.
Dude, I remember when the people were training, this fucking guy, he looks like a fucking a barista in Brooklyn walks
out. He had like
this Jimmy fucking Havoc. That, dude, when I was at that Progress show and I saw these idiots mark out for Joey Janela and Jimmy Havoc, I was like, there's something wrong with these people.
Yeah. Jimmy Havoc had like the skinniest fucking arms I've seen on a wrestler. I was like, anyways, finishing this off, we have Swerve Scott versus Santos Escobar, who became the next Cruiserweight champion. Is that one of the takeovers? This was in October.
This one I missed because I was doing comedy shows at the time.
I thought we reviewed this.
No, we didn't do it. I didn't watch this one. I didn't watch
this. Oh, okay. This was a good match, too. This was actually
a good match. I was surprised that the Adonis was helping out Isaiah Swerve Scott. He's not around anymore.
Yeah, no, this was when he got a little bit of a push where he was, like, becoming one of the good guys on 205 for, like, 2 weeks, and then they forgot about it.
Ashanti, the Adonis. Yeah, they don't do anything with him anymore.
Yeah. And I... what do you call it? Santos hits a double underhook face buster, which is not his normal finisher, but he hit that for on Swerve for the win under good match.
So yeah, that was it. Thanks so much. I like this episode 205 Live. Some of these shows, I'd be cool with them just being like fucking recaps. I don't really need if you're not gonna put anything interesting on, just show me old matches.
Yeah. All right, so NWA Power, I believe this is episode 24.
Mm-hmm.
This was not an hour. This was like a 45-minute show today. I mean, from this week. So they're ripping you off. If typical Carney, watch this. They're going to start making it 30 minutes. Watch what happens. Typical Carney bullshit. So we get Aaron Stevens on commentary. Commentary booth, you got Kratos behind him, and he's talking about how, you know, he's changed his style. He's like, I don't rely on characters anymore. I'm being a serious guy. I'm really being a serious wrestler. And then Sal Renaro comes out and he goes, hey, where's my title shot? You said you'd give me a title shot. Where's my title shot? And Aaron Stevens like, I said I'll wrestle you. Mm-hmm. Title shot's not up to me. Also, don't you need a partner, dude? Like, you need a partner. You gotta get a partner, man. I kind of like the way they did this because Aaron Stevens was kind of like, he was a little dodgy, but he wasn't like completely dodgy. It was very realistic the way he was doing it. He was kind of like, well, I didn't really say 100% I'll give you a title shot. I said I'll give you a match, bro, but that's not like a title shot. That's the office, not me. Like, he was making valid points. I kind of like this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I like Aaron Stevens being the serious guy. He's coming off well. You don't think so?
Aaron Stevens?
Yeah.
He's coming off better than he was before.
Yeah, he's coming off better than he ever
I know did. You like that other shit. I remember when he won the title, I mean, he showed me a screenshot. I was like, who the fuck, this fucking guy? But now he's finally coming. He's finally getting back to where he was 10 years ago.
No, I didn't like him in NWA, but I liked until now. But I didn't even like him in TNA. Remember when he was in TNA?
Oh, he was marbling
TNA. Yeah, he wasn't that good in that either. That's when he started getting out of shape and everything. But I liked him when he was the original Damian Sandow.
Yes, you know, he was great in that. I don't understand how that. Great. I don't understand how he's still not Damian Sandow in WWE. I don't understand. I literally thought that was going to be, even if he didn't go anywhere, he would just be like that character. And they dropped it like after like 2 years.
Yeah, that T-shirt, that Evolution T-shirt he had was really cool. You know, the ape. The ape that grows up to be him, that T-shirt. Remember, I thought that looked cool. He had a good move set, and then I did not like that he was copying Miz, but I liked the fact that he was actually still being used. Yeah, that's the only thing I was like, at least he's.
And then once he broke away from Miz, they just fired him. That was it.
Dude, I thought he was going to be like the next thing. Remember, he won the Money in the Bank and everything. I was like, what the fuck happened? Anyway, he's doing good stuff now. The first match is a team called The End, which is Paro and Edison. It's my first time seeing Odinson. I'm sorry, not Edison. Odinson. First time seeing Odinson versus Adonis and Latimer. Adonis and Latimer. Well, they did this really cool thing. This is the first time I've seen this in a tag team match. They did a split screen, like a real split screen, to show what's happening outside the ring and inside the ring for the ending. And then they put the master lock. Adonis puts the master lock on Odinson for the win. There were some Camille shenanigans that allowed it to happen. And then Camille comes in and makes out with her real life boyfriend, Thomas Latimer. I like the split screen. What did you think? Did you like this match?
No.
This guy Odinson looked good.
He looked good, but I don't know. This show is really low. This show has lost a lot.
The end tag team. I feel like they're trying to fill that War Machine void in the indies. But it's just like, all right, whatever. They were doing the Mad Max thing where they would fucking spray paint their fucking teeth, you know, with the silver spray paint. Like, oh, it's fucking getting me high, you know? You know the spray paint from the Mad Max? Mm-hmm. They should just do that in the middle of the match, you know?
Yeah.
Like, all then they get their fucking second win. Like, and they go crazy. They should just do it in the middle, or whatever. Thunder Rosa's... after Camille's in the ring, and Thunder Rosa comes out to confront Camille. And then she's going to be doing this. And then, what do you call it? She goes over to the Kyle Davis and she starts cutting a promo. And then Taryn Terrell comes out with this fucking boa thing to say she's signed, but she's not going to fight Thunder Rosa. She says she could beat Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa laughs like crazy. I thought she came out really natural the way she was like, this is how you would respond to someone like that. Melina comes out and Thunder Rosa's like, I don't need your help and I don't need you either, and she leaves. They're trying to build this women's division. They're rebuilding it.
They're trying.
Yeah, they're retrying. By the way, we did see an advertisement for Nick Aldis Hasbro, original Hasbro style toy.
And it's him and his son.
Him and his son, yeah.
Some of this stuff just looks so like, ugh, this... Like, hey, even though I didn't make it WWE, I have my own figure. And it's like,
why are all these wrestlers bringing out their sons?
Because
why is everyone doing this?
I don't know. Because they saw Brody Lee. Brody Lee didn't do it. He was dead. So, but it's fucking
tough. Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, to be fair, he didn't do it until he passed. But
he didn't do it at all. But
yeah. But like Santos is doing this, Nick Aldis. I'm like, all right, guys, we get it. You have dad. Your dad's. I don't like. This is why I kind of wish sometimes kayfabe was still here. You know, like I don't want to fucking see your family, dude. Like I don't want to see. I don't want you. I don't want to see you with your wife that we know that everybody knows you cheat on. Like stop fucking pretending to be a good dad. You know.
Yeah.
Mae Valentine's interviewing Trevor Murdoch, and then Trevor Murdoch gives us, he goes, everybody has a boss they don't like, that you put in all these hours and it's never enough. Well, I'm challenging you, Nick Aldis. I was like, what does that mean?
So is Nick Aldis everyone's boss? Because he
got Nick Aldis his boss? I don't understand.
I want that paperwork on my desk tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know where that connection happened. He was just like, you put hour after hour, it's never enough for your boss. Nick Aldis, I'm coming for you. I could cut promos like that. I can totally.
You see younger boss. Yeah. You know what? It's never enough. I'm Andrew Lee, bro.
Yeah. Do you know when you miss one garbage night and the garbage starts piling up and you got to get your garbage to the next night? Or your room, your house starts smelling. It starts stinking. There's garbage water building. Roman Reigns, I'm coming for you. doesn't make any sense. Wait, we go to match number two. Mims and Slice Boogie versus the Wasp. Oh, yeah,
Slice Boogie.
Crimson and Mac, not Max Stain. Crimson and Jack Stain. Jack Stain.
You're going to see Matt Morgan. Is it Matt Morgan?
Yeah. Jack Stain gets knocked. Matt Morgan was involved in NWA Power, like in
he's like a mayor or something now. So
yeah, but he was like, okay, you know Crimson before when NWA first Power first started, Crimson and Max Matt Morgan, I think, were like guys in the suits, like producers. They weren't actually wrestlers. It's only since the pandemic that Crimson started wrestling on the show.
Okay.
But I think Matt Morgan's not. Yeah, he's like a mayor somewhere.
Yeah.
Palm Springs, isn't it Palm Springs?
I don't know. I don't know. I know I saw a couple of videos where he was acting like a fucking idiot. So
yeah, I don't, I believe he's probably an idiot too.
Yeah.
So Jack Stain gets taken out and he's like lays out for the whole rest of this match. People, the commentators, he's playing up like they think he's faking it. Why is he out so long? Mims rolls up Crimson for Mims and Slice Boogie to win. And afterwards, Crimson's like, "Come on, man, get up! What are you doing, laying on the ground?" You know, so they're trying to tease a breakup of this tag team. They chill.
They just got
what?
Even though they just got together.
This is a tag team that's been around. They've been around the indies, and they were also a tag team on Impact. And I think you do need to break this tag team up because this tag team has gone nowhere.
Okay. Well, yeah, because I never knew they were a tag team until I saw this match.
Yeah. Right. You know who would be a great fit for NWA Power?
Who?
Reno Scum.
Yes. Well, now they don't have a job, so.
Yeah. So Reno Scum should totally do NWA Power. I think they would fit right in. They just have this old school feel, like a nostalgic act. I think it would work. All right. Nick Aldis is getting interviewed with Kyle Davis, and he starts getting a promo that we're looking for a new member of Strictly Business. Anybody from any promotion can apply. It'll take anybody except for Marty Scurll. So I think they're trying to actively find new people to work with it. We'll see what happens. Match number three, Pope versus Fred Rosser for the television title. They went back to the 6:05 time frame, which I love.
Yeah, they listened to you because you were complaining about that a few weeks ago. Yeah,
I wasn't the only one complaining. I heard a lot. I think a lot of people were like, you're 10:05. It's just a weird, like, it's not an important time. It doesn't mean anything, you know? Yeah. So I think they were like, yeah, it's stupid. Let's just go back to 6:05. The Pope hits the Elijah Express double knee for the win. Afterwards, Austin Idol and Tyrus come out and they confront him. And that's it. That was the show.
I think that what's his name? Mike, what's the fucking guy? Darren Young. I'll just say his real name, Darren Young. I don't care, but this guy's a waste of space. I don't know why I have to.
Fred Rosser, yeah. Darren Young, formerly Darren Young. You know, this show, NW Power, it's better than Raw. It's better than Impact. I will say it's better than Impact.
I think Impact's better than this.
I don't know. Impact does a lot of fucking dumb stuff.
I think the only reason why this show is better is it's shorter. I'll give it that.
Yeah. Okay.
By the time you're sick of it, it's over. So
yeah. But
and then you have Thunder Rosa. So
yeah. This and Camille. Show, yeah. This show used to be a show that I used to like tell people you have to watch this show. Like it's a must-see show. It is no longer a must-see show. It's man. This is one of those shows like where I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know what you're gonna do. I don't know what you would have. I don't know what you would have to do.
I don't know. You know what? Have you noticed like every wrestling company is in dire straits right now? Like it's just completely.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go over it. NWA. I'm like, I don't know how you fix that. Ring of Honor. Nobody is talking about Ring of Honor.
Right? No, nobody. Nobody.
And they're doing the best work they've done in the past year and a half, and nobody's still talking about them. So how do you fix that?
You don't.
Like, I don't know. How do you fix WWE? No, I don't know how to fix any of these shows.
Yeah. Impact. AEW. Like, You know, it's just everything is just
even New Japan is like not doing so good. It's it's they got some of the
worst. I really do think it was a massive mistake not for the entire industry to take the entire industry should have taken a break when COVID was at its worst, right after WrestleMania, and come back. I just think it's gonna be dude, did you notice? We didn't talk about this on SmackDown. They had commercials where there's still tickets on sale. Dude, they're advertising SmackDown is still tickets on sale. It's the night before WrestleMania. Everyone assumed they're gonna sell, dude, and they're only at they're not at full capacity. They're only at like what 30% capacity, and they still couldn't sell all the tickets.
Do you think part of it's because there are some people who are scared to go? Because of
I think COVID. People are scared to go. I think the card's been shit. I think
yes.
I think that like even if you want like my friend didn't want to go and then we read the rule. Dude, the rules are you have to sign a waiver that even if you get COVID through WWE being negligent, you cannot sue them or do anything. You have to just take the COVID.
All right. Also, travel is harder. Travel restrictions, yeah. Right? Yeah. And also, people are poorer. Right, so a lot of factors.
I think for across the board, every company, you know, and I think this affected Ring of Honor and NWA. I think across the board, the fact that nobody took a break, I think it turned off a lot of people that they were just going in an empty building. I think it turned off a lot of people.
And the only one that's doing well is that Emi Sakura apartment show. That's probably like, hey, we got two people, we're sold out.
Because everyone's
their apartment show.
Maki Ito, who that's another thing, like pushing Maki Ito. Dude, they cannot, I cannot stress this enough, how you cannot listen to people that post about wrestling on Twitter.
Oh my God, no.
These people. Ito is probably one of the most, listen, we've been babbling enough. Hardly anything happened tonight, but me and you talked a lot. We got, tomorrow night though, we got Hardcore Justice.
What time is Hardcore Justice?
3 p.m.
Ah,
what?
I don't know.
The cat wants to eat. I gotta go.
Yeah, let's go. I'm tired.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow for WrestleMania and Hardcore Justice.